This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey guys, it's Zach and Laura with Marriage Therapy Radio. Thanks for listening. Today, we have a treat. We have a interview with our friend, mutual friend, Beth Wiley. Beth is one of the smartest people I know when it comes to talking about issues of step parenting and how to do therapy with blended families. And I think you'll enjoy it. The sound quality is not that great. We apologize. We're still trying to figure out how to do interviews with third parties because we've got a lot coming up. But again, this one is fun. There's a lot of great material here, and I know some of you have been waiting for it. So stick around.
All right. What's up, guys?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah.
We have three voices today on the podcast. So it's not just Zach and myself, but we also have Beth, our long-term old buddy from way back when. We're bringing her on for her expertise.
She was like an original member of our original consult group.
Slash drinking group.
That's what you're drinking, hanging out at the bar group. Yeah.
Sorry,
things have changed.
Yes. Hello, friends. Good to be here.
So the reason why we brought Beth on is that we sort of teased that we have a lot of episodes coming up, and we're going to be bringing experts on that we think would better speak to a couple of topic areas. And one of the areas that everybody has been emailing for the last 2 years has been about blended families, step families, marrying someone who already has children. And so we thought there would be nobody else better in this world than you, my dear. So do you want to introduce yourself? Tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do and what your passions are in life.
Wow, that's a big question. My name is Beth Wiley. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I work with couples just like these two fabulous therapists. But one thing that I love working with are blended families and step families, and mostly because that's my life. So I am a stepdaughter. I'm a stepmom. I'm a stepsister, step aunt, you name it. My whole family is blended. And so I love
steps you get in during the day.
Huh, you're funny.
What a bump.
Dad jokes.
Not him. Yeah, bring it. So it's something that I know a lot of people don't like to work with blended families. Zach's one of them. And there's just not a lot of resources out there. And I look at it from the way of my parents. And so I feel like had they had help and support, they would have done a better job. Myself, when I first became a mom, I think I could have done a better job. And so I'm trying to provide that resource for families out there that are going through this because it is a tough gig.
Yeah, I remember I was part of a blend. Well, let's see here. So my stepmom came into, I call her my bonus mom now, but man, I love that title when I didn't like her back in the day. She now has been with our family, gosh, I'm guessing it's been 30 years because I met her when I was about 5 or 6 years old. So now you know how old I am. Still the baby of the group, just saying that much. But she said, I wish I knew what I know now. I would have done things so differently when you guys were young. And she was trying the best that she possibly could, but it still doesn't prevent me from having harsh feelings towards her when I was 6 years old or 7 years old. Yeah. I'm really curious, as a therapist, do couples come to you with the primary objective of we're a blended family and we're experiencing these difficulties? Or are they coming to you because they have strife as a couple And they haven't even identified the stressors that are affecting their relationship, as we have a blended family and these are all unique stressors.
Right. I think originally they come in and probably have different goals and different thoughts around your question. So mm-hmm. the step parent might actually think it's got more to do with the kids. The partner might feel like everything's okay. Shockingly. And then through the stressors that they experience as a blended family, I think then relationship issues start to arise. So a lot of the things that I wrote down for today, you know, so much of it goes back to just like kind of Gottman stuff that you guys talk about, you know, validation and showing appreciation and having empathy and just getting to that again. So, but they can't even get there because they're so hung up on kind of just figuring out how to have this new system work.
Yeah. So Zach, feel free to chime in, but I have some questions. What are some of the top issues that you see affecting blended families? And also, I just wanted to clarify for our listeners, what is a blended family?
I mean, a blended family is, I mean, there's those two terms, right? You have a step family and a blended family. Personally, to me, I look at them as the same. I think we'll kind of have them be different, but it's really if you are kind of a second marriage for one or both parties. So, I mean, the whole system could look so, it could just be, I'm marrying someone, my husband had a son, so I didn't have children, I wasn't married before he was. You could also, both partners could have been married before and bringing children into the relationship.
Is it the children that creates a blended family? Because even if you don't have children or share families, if it's a second marriage, you are still bringing two systems together that had a previous partner involved at some point that was removed from the system. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't know that that would necessarily be considered just because you don't, once the spouse is, the ex is gone and there's no kids, they're gone. You don't really have to.
Hopefully,
see
right? That's like fingers level, crossed. Right?
Yeah. There might be some money that has to be exchanged, but for the most part, you're not having to see them or talk to them on a consistent basis.
Okay.
Not necessarily having them to bring in all the rituals and traditions of one family into this new system.
Interesting. Okay. So back to the question of what is some of the top issues that you see coming into your office with blended families?
There's so many. I just want to start with saying it's very hard to have a blended family. And I think that the expectations around what it's going to be are way off all around. You know, I think when the biological parent remarries, they have this assumption and expectation that it's just going to all gel and everyone's going to get along and it's going to be fine. Nobody's going to have an issue with it. And the stepmom's going to feel like these kids are probably going to love them because who wouldn't? And this ex-partner's going to love them because they're great, you know, and I'm just trying to help out. I'm just trying to parent this kid. Why would they not like me? So everyone kind of goes into it thinking one thing and then reality sets in. And so I think that the fact that their expectations are so high, it can feel like a bigger drop than is needed had they got into it realizing like, this is going to be really hard. And so I think that's just the first. It's just getting really... like setting the bar low.
Yeah.
Kind of a good idea. And then you can kind of go up from there. Go ahead.
Well, that just reminded me of the statistic that we're all familiar with. When you bring in a first child into a relationship, there's, what is the statistic? You guys might know. Is it 67% of all relationship experience a decline in relationship satisfaction after the birth of the first child? This is kind of an off the hand, but are there any statistics out there that show what relationship satisfaction, what happens to relationship satisfaction when you blend your families? Like maybe in the dating and courtship, everything's peachy and then you marry and then you bring those families together, whether it be under one roof or you share, I don't know what that would look like, but I'm just curious if there are statistics for people to help show them that the idea, right? They might be romanticizing what their expectation is going to be.
I don't think there are a lot of statistics out there. So a lot of when it comes to blended families and step families, the research out there is really old. A lot of Gottman style research, let's say, like in the 70s. And so a lot of times it really focuses too on stepdads and not a lot of stepmoms. And so a lot of the information out there is what it looks like for a stepdad And not so much because usually when, you know, back then the moms had most of like full-time custody for the most part, you know, minus a couple weekends. So the stepdad was the one that was involved a lot more. And so that's when, if you're doing some like real research on it and looking into it, that's what you're going to find. Otherwise it's just, you know, a lot of now more recent, it's more stepmoms writing books about kind of their experience. There's some here and there that you'll find, but why I know a lot of people seek me out is because they're like, there's nothing. And we stepmoms particularly feel very isolated. They're like, it's so weird because, you know, 50% of the people are, you know, divorced and getting remarried. Where are all the step like moms and parents? And how do we connect more with each other? Because once they sit in a room together, I ran a step parent support group for about a year. And it was like, they were like, it's the first time they sat down and felt heard. They felt like everyone in the room knew exactly what they were feeling and why.
Amazing. We actually, one of our listeners wrote and I said, hey, by the way, this is not my area, but do you have questions in particular that you would love for us to tackle when it comes to step parenting? Are there authors that you're really into, resources? And she sent me an entire list, and she actually referenced a mom group that she was involved with that was all step parents, step moms getting together, which is so cool.
Yeah.
That's really neat. Okay. Zach, do you have any questions or anything that comes to mind?
Gonna, like, not let me talk the entire time.
I mean, if you let us, you know how it works. Women rule the world.
I would want to say that I don't. It's not that I don't like working with blended families. It's just that it's so hard, and part of it is because the agendas are often mixed. Because you know, you got this guy who loves his kids and his new wife. And she wants a certain kind of attention or energy, and he doesn't, and he wants to give it to her, but sometimes it costs him with his own kid. And then they, and then the other mom is in trouble, and there's no alignment in terms of parenting strategy. And it's just, I don't know how you take kind of the traditional sort of prioritization rules that we might offer to like an organic family. And say, hey, you know, the parents are the unit, and the kids are going to leave one day, and you know, how do you find, Beth, that you balance kind of the need to, I don't want to say like balance loyalty, but how do you help people understand where the priorities lie, or how to, I mean, is there a rule or is there a principle that will make that easier for people?
Well, it is different. So the priorities are going to probably look different than they do in an intact, you know, first family. You know, and I would even, I mean, I get what we maybe should say to people, that is, you know, the couple is the priority, but in reality, that isn't always the case. You know, there are times where we give our children the priority, and it kind of goes back and forth, and depending on the child's age, right? Like when they're really little, sometimes they get maybe more of our focus than when they start to get older. We can pull away and spend more time on the relationship. Now we want to do that obviously consistently so the relationship doesn't go away. But in this case, there is a need. I mean, it's tough because you have to really look at it of how much loss the kids have gone through. So there is a need for them to feel safe and for them a lot of the time to feel like a priority, and having to balance that with that, with not letting them call all the shots. I think that's always the really hard part where couples or where families get lost, because you know, the kid's gone for, you know, 4 days, if not like 2 weeks, and they show up and then it's like everything stops, you know, and it's all about them. And I've heard couples partners say, you know, our relationship looks one way 4.5 days of the week, and another way like the other 3.5 days. Like it's like a fully different situation. My marriage is totally different. I don't get to cuddle. I don't get to do all these things. And all of a sudden this child is the priority. So it's tough. It's, you know, I think that the main thing I always kind of help people understand is if that bio parent can give some empathy on how hard the situation is for that step parent, that helps and goes a long way. If they can be appreciative of what they're, you know, giving and also giving up, that goes a long way. What tends to happen is the step parent starts criticizing the children. The children are being manipulative. The children are, you know, using you. They're trying to do this, that, and the other. And we're parents, the three of us. Yeah. You know what we would do if someone starts talking shit on our child.
Right. Like,
not flying. And so then they get really defensive, right? Same thing as in, you know, relationships and the four horsemen. Criticism's going to bring out defensiveness. And then they're going to feel like, oh, you're choosing the kid. So you get into that process really quickly. So I think it's really important just to be able to say, like, the bio parent is never going to know what it's like to be a step parent. They're not a step parent. If you're not a step parent, you have no idea what it's like. You can have empathy for how challenging it is, but they're not really ever going to know. So if they can provide that and validate their experience, that really goes a long way. When I work with step families and that starts to happen, the stepmom, I work with mostly stepmoms, they start to really, that feels better for them.
Yeah.
Man, that's mind blowing to me, because I'm thinking about three couples right now that I have in my practice, and there is profound failure on the part of each bio parent to empathize with how hard it is for the step parent. And what you described is exactly what's happening. The step parent's now criticizing the kid, and the bio parent gets defensive. Like, I'm gonna use this, your wisdom, like actually.
So, actually, you're actually going to use her wisdom.
Yeah. Well, as soon as next week, I'm going to use Beth's wisdom, which.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You had said that there's a lack of research out there that is timely, that is current, but there have been a lot of step parents that have written about their personal experiences. So we're looking at more qualitative data rather than actual like research quantitative, but are there any books that you would recommend for our listeners that could either give a bio parent more of a peek into, hey, your partner, also the step parent, is not crazy. It's not just her who's having this experience or him who's having this experience. All the step parents are having trouble with this, or the other way around, just a step parent book that would be really helpful for a step parent to read.
I'm going to fail you on this one.
Okay.
The answer is no.
Okay.
I don't have any. I haven't read a lot, and I honestly think maybe because I have my own life that I go off of. I've heard great things about Step Monster, which is a bit older. I think a lot of us have heard of that one.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of them, I don't necessarily know that. I think it's tough because when it's a stepmom's point of view, I think stepmoms love it, and often it's like, you know, like.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Because they get told a lot, you're the adult in the situation, and they hate that. And so I think sometimes they read these books and they want their partner to read them and be like, see, and that's right. Not all of it. That's a part of it. And I think it's good to have, you know, your community that can understand you, that you can go to. Like, why I liked my support group was because they could vent and they could talk shit on the kids, and it was safe. Like, it was totally safe. It wasn't, and they need to have that, but to take that and then bring it into the relationship doesn't always work. You know, there's more facets to it, and they often won't read that stuff that talks about, you know, that the children are the ones, they didn't ask for any of this. They have lost all control. You know, I had a couple the other day, and he was saying we were kind of exploring how he can get really loud in arguments, and he can really go from like 0 to 60, and it's really reactionary. And he started saying, you know, yeah, I just kind of think if I express my feelings about it, like, what's the point? And I was like, but you know, he was a child of divorce. And I was like, yeah, a kid of divorce, like, you could all day long say, I want my parents to be back together. It's not going to change it. So from an early age, he learned, like, what's the point?
What's the point? Yeah. The
connection of, like, how he reacts now in his relationship to how, as a child, realizing it didn't matter what he said, the situation wasn't going to change. And, it's tough to say, be the adult. And I would have told people to, like, jump off a bridge if they told me that, probably, when I was a new step parent. You know, it was so hard for me. I thought I was going to rock it so hard because I was a step kid. I was like, I got this, like, no problem. And I would stare at my step kid being like, he's not going to take that bowl to the sink and just sit there and like fume. And like, he would ask my husband to get him a glass of water. And I'd be like, get up, get yourself water. And now I say, if my baby asks me when he's 30 to bake him a pie, I'll make that kind of pie. Like, no problem. So it's just a very different dynamic that and feelings that you have, you know, for a step kid than a biological child.
Yeah. Sidebar, Zach, before you hopped on. So Beth has her, is she five or six now?
She's five.
So she's in kindergarten. And so she said, this is day two of her baby being in kindergarten. And she was like, yeah, I just bake when I'm sad. So I'm doing a lot of baking right now. She has apple pie on the mind.
Yes.
I'm going to promise you that the day will come when you cannot wait for back to school. It is going to be.
I'm already there.
The day of the year.
I was excited when she's like, you know, now that you have to be.
I know.
Meet you. And I just fed her to the wolves. And yeah. She's special, obviously.
Well, there's one out of three voices that are aligned with you right now. I was telling Beth that it hit 3 o'clock yesterday and I looked at the clock. I was like, no, I need 6 more hours. That was a little fast for me. I think you need to be in school till 9. Mama's got stuff to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is another common issue that you see coming up between blended families? And Zach, I love that you brought up the loyalty issue because I hear that all the time from people where the response is, my kids will always come first. And that's a hard one for couples to grapple with. So I love that it's not the same answer that you would have with an intact family. What's another issue that you're seeing come through your door?
I think the having a lot of responsibility and the little control as a step parent. So you are often paying financially, you might blend your accounts together. And so then you're, you know, a big chunk of your money is going out the door to house another person. That's kind of how it's viewed. I'm paying for her to live and, you know, I'm paying for clothes and then we have to buy clothes here. And then we're paying for, you know, after school and all of these things. And then I'm showing up to things and I am, you know, emotionally available, but I don't have any of the say or the control in what happens with them. And they also often don't even want me there. they're looking at you and one day they might smile and say hi. And the next week that they come, they would rather you not be there. So there's very little reward that comes out of it. You don't get that, you know, with your kids, with, they could be, you guys could be fighting and yelling and then 5 seconds later you could be hugging and smiling. I remember as a step parent not understanding that when my husband and my stepson could get into a fight and then they're wrestling a few minutes later and I'm seething still. I'm still so mad about what just happened. And so that, I think that's really hard because it's hard to just let go and have that unconditional love. So not having any control, and when we don't have control, we get really rigid. And so that just continues on that path. That makes it really even worse. It just gets worse when they head down that. I'm trying to just say, I don't have control and I'm not really supposed to. You know, this ex-partner didn't ask me to be a co-parent in here. Now that would be great. Like, ideally, if everyone could be on the same page, fabulous. In 10 years, I've seen 3 couples work in a way that I'm like, wow, good job. Like, you nailed this. You put the kids first. You've all been friends. You have family dinners together. There is an awkwardness. Way to go. Rarely happens, you know?
Yeah. So. Huh. So, this just brought up a question that I had, which is disciplining. What are your thoughts on step parents disciplining their stepchildren?
Don't.
There's just one answer. Therapy's over for the day. Thank you.
I don't know if you've ever seen that hilarious Bob Newhart one. Stop it.
Yeah, stop it. Just stop it. No. And, oh man. I'm fully on board with that. And I think that it's been tough where, you know, bio parents, they want their new partner to share in this, and they want them to take over that role as like the mother or the father of the household, and the kids to see them as a source of discipline or not, I don't know. just someone that they need to listen to. But I have seen it go so wrong when that step parent is asked and encouraged and even, you know, expected to discipline their stepchildren. And it doesn't seem to go well ever.
Yeah. And I haven't seen it much where the bio parent has said, please discipline my kid. It's usually the step parent jumping in.
Yeah,
but it's different though than having the step parent having legitimate boundaries, right? I mean, the step parent needs to have boundaries within the house with regard to both the partner and the children. Mm-hmm. That's different than discipline, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, there's the general house rule of respect, right? Like everyone respects each other, mm-hmm. And so if you see someone being disrespectful, it's fair to say, "Hey, that's not how we treat each other in this house." Mm-hmm. Now, if you're coming at them very much like you're an authority figure.
Particularly like, in the hell no.
Yeah, you got to back off. And it's ages of children matter too. Like if it's like a 5-year-old, you can be more like the authority and they're going to listen. If it's like a middle schooler, yeah, right. High schooler, no, thank you. So, you know, they kind of frame it as like a high schooler might look at you like a babysitter. A middle schooler might look at you like as an aunt. They give you that much of authority. And then a child like, elementary school might actually give you that parental figure role. And now if you're working in that, like you have ages that are all ranged in that, it gets hard, to figure out all that kind of who's going to listen to me and who isn't. But, I think the longer you're together and the more you emotionally connect and you build trust and you give the kids empathy and you're there for them, the more that you can start to have that relationship as far as kind of a discipline role. But, obviously, like just even with
There's another character in the story that is not often in the room, but that I'm wondering about, which is how much do you see that there's actually a relationship issue created by the presence of the other parent, the other bio parent, mm-hmm. right? Like how much do you see that is creating, there's loyalty there too, right? Like we have to steward these two bio kids even though we aren't married anymore. And yet you are my, how do you help? I can imagine people wanting to understand maybe how to create some levity in that space.
Yeah.
So the ex is always the villain, they're the crazy one. There's obviously a reason for a divorce, right? Two people couldn't effectively manage their conflict. They didn't have alignment in their values. So they split up and usually it's one person left the other. So the person who was left usually has more resentment. And then they have, fear that, now there's this unit is becoming a family and I maybe don't have another person. And so it says somehow this is my child going to be taken from me. And so a lot of that will start to come out and that could be through, enormous amounts of phone calls and texts, emails, maybe yelling over the phone, differences of parenting. And so the presence is always there. There's a term for it called the ghost at the table. Mm. So like the presence of this other person is just always there. I mean, even by having the kids there, they might have the ex's face, Like they might look just like the other parent. And so you're constantly reminded that there was this other relationship. And so insecurity runs is a big deal when it comes to step parents. They feel very insecure in their relationship. They are is my partner and this person talking too much too often? If the ex is speaking, it can be really volatile. And if they're yelling, the new partner is like, how come you let her or him talk to you this way? Like, I'm not allowed to talk to you this way. You let this person talk to you. So it creates all kinds of issues. And I think that's where usually the problem lies is that the three or four people can't figure out how to communicate together. And again, put the kids and their needs first. And that's where you start to see trouble when stepkids start to have, or just the children start to have issues is because they're feeling anxious. They're feeling overwhelmed. They're not feeling comfortable. They don't know how they're supposed to act in any house, who they can talk to. If they talk about, Julie with mom, is, mom going to get mad? Or so there is that's a really big, I don't know exactly what your question was, but it is definitely a big issue.
I can just tell you that like my heart My heart started pounding and I was like, thank the good Lord for the work that you do, Beth, because it seems like it is some of the most challenging couples to work with. There's all different types of couples that come through the door with their own unique energies and issues and whatnot, but holy moly on fire with blended families. There's a lot of unique, like what you said, it's just hard. It's hard.
It's just hard. And I look at it like, if you think about a relationship, you know, in the sense of the sound relationship house, you have two, if not three houses, like that are trying to like all kind of mesh together.
Yeah.
It gets really hard. And again, goes back to why it's so important to have empathy and understanding for every role that, you know, even the bio parent is being pulled in so many directions and just trying to make everybody happy, you know?
Yeah.
That's hard. And so I think if everyone can just, you know, communicate in that way, at least you can start there. And then you can start to build upon the house and really start to work on how together as this new family, can we create our own rituals and traditions and roles and all of that, that was in another family. You can kind of mesh them together. But without that, you know, that foundational piece, like that's why the relationships tend to not last.
Yeah. Wow. Is there any other like bit of information you said? It kind of said what I'm picking up from you is that empathy and understanding is sort of the pillar of what we need to be focused on with blended families in order to make the relationship successful. But is there any other tidbit that you want to add to our listeners that would just help guide them in their own journey?
I've said this to a couple people before, which is, I think as a step parent, and even for the kids, for everybody, there's a lot of grieving that needs to take place. So I know for myself personally, when I decided that I was going to be with Charlie, I had to grieve the fact that when we walked down the aisle, it wasn't his first time. When we had a child together, it wasn't his first time. You know, the fairy tale that you imagine in your head does not include, you know, and they lived happily ever after with a child and an ex-partner. Like that is not a part of the equation. And so I've given that advice to some stepmoms to be like, just grieve that a little bit. Like, because I think they can't get over, they are still envisioning that. And so then this new life that they're having isn't fitting, isn't working because in their mind, they still want this other thing. And also to recognize the how much loss the kids are going through. You know, they lost the continuity of where they live. They maybe have to go to different neighborhoods. They maybe had to switch schools. They have to now get siblings. They maybe lost their own room. I mean, that seems kind of like petty, but these are big things. And they've just lost their family unit. You know, like they don't really care. I mean, unless it's a huge volatile fighting, you know, fist are going around in the house, like they are cool. You know, and I think they would always say they'd prefer their parents to be married. I mean, my parents have been divorced like 35 years. And sometimes I'm like, it would be easier even as an adult if they were married, you know, that I would have to spend, you know, different holidays and figuring out who to visit and when. There's so much, you know, just different sets of families to have to try to make happy and spend time with and relationships to build and form.
Yeah. Wow. How can our listeners find you? Can they get in touch with you if they want to work with you? Do you do any sort of video chat or distance counseling for anyone?
I do online work with couples. So if you're not in the Seattle area, we can work that way. And then I have my practice in Seattle and in South Lake Union. So you can always get in touch with me that way. Working towards getting the step parent support group kind of up and running again.
I know that our listeners would be like, please, 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 especially if it was virtual, because we have people from all over the world. And I'm tooting my own horn, but I think everybody needs to be working virtually to be able to reach the masses. But do you have a website that they can go to find you and find out more about you?
Yes, it is pnwfamilytherapy.com. So like
PNW, Pacific Northwest,
familytherapy.com. And I mean, when I was going over all this today and I was talking to my husband, we're like, you need to write a book. So look out for that. I think I'm going to write something. Because it was funny. I wrote all this stuff. I'm like, I'm going to go online and look. I'm like, I already said all that stuff. So I feel like I have a lot of knowledge. And I think why people, step parents come to me or blended families come to me is because that it's my life too. It's not just me doing this therapy thing. It's like, I can get every part of the, I know what it's like to be a stepmom. I know what it's like to be a stepkid. And, you know, I kind of know all the different roles of what that feels like. You really have that sense of empathy for each person.
Your kids in school.
And my kids are in school.
I said, now you have a ton of free time because your kids are in school.
So much free time.
Yeah.
And all my free time.
Exactly. Yeah. Aside from all the baking.
I might have a bake sale as well one day.
Good.
I'm lucky that I get to refer to Beth in town or Pacific Northwest Therapy, which is a great resource for me. I endorse it as a local Seattle therapist. So that's, you got that going. That's
awesome. Yeah. You guys are both in the Seattle area and now I'm in Bend, Oregon. So I'll just refer to myself. Thanks, guys. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. And if any of our listeners have any questions, they can always filter them through to us and we can pass them off to Beth at any point. But it's Beth Wylie, W-Y-L-I-E, Pacific Northwest Family Therapy, PNW, familytherapy.com. Okay. Thanks, Beth. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Something that's on my mind right now as I'm preparing for a talk next week is the art of play in relationships and families. And I just wanted to challenge all of you to find ways to introduce play into your everyday lives, whether it be taking a little bit of time out to play a board game, shutting the television off and sitting around and building a big massive fort in your living room, whatever it might be, find ways to play with your partner on an ordinary Tuesday. Thanks so much for all of your time and energy that you're putting into making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.